Going to be talking this morning a little bit about making improvements. And to kind of help illustrate some of these concepts, I want you to think back to your first home, the first house you ever bought. In my case, first house was pre-Mary Jo, so she had no part in this. I decided I'd lived at home long enough, it was time to move out, and I was too cheap to pay rent because that just bothered me that I got nothing for it. So I decided to buy a house. My little house there at the time cost less than a pickup truck does now. It was 60 years old. I was the third owner. People before me had only owned it for about 2 years, so the first group, the first family had been in it over 55 years. And it needed some work. And I didn't really realize how much work it needed when I bought it. I just wanted a house. And I remember the first night I moved in, and I went upstairs, up in the very front there, they'd added on a bathroom. And so I'm just kind of nosing around my new house, checking everything out. So I turned on the water in the sink and see if it worked, and flushed the toilet, see if it worked. Everything worked. Went downstairs. There's water dripping out of the ceiling of the living room down onto the floor. Well, I was already feeling a little bit lonely because I was there in that house by myself, but that just kind of broke the ice. So I sat there and cried for about an hour thinking, what have I done? But that was the start of my being involved in home improvements. Because as I started to learn more about this house, I learned that it had no insulation in the walls or ceiling. So when it got cold, it got really cold in there. It had this old tube and knob wiring that you looked at it and it just looked like it was a fire waiting to happen. The kitchen sink, I found out the hard way, did not have a vent attached to it. So if you managed to get water in both sides of the sink at the same time, it took over an hour for the water to finally work its way out. The old windows, they rattled whenever the wind blew. That's the ones that weren't rotted so bad that they just kind of let the wind pass right by. And the furnace, I came to find out later, was just waiting to explode. Somebody had bypassed the safety for the pilot light. So if the gas would have ever gone out and I would have tried to light it, I'd have probably gotten launched into space because it would have blown up. I had no idea any of this stuff, okay? But you know what? That kind of describes us as Christians. We need improvements. We have things that need fixed. Need things in our lives that fix. Nick read that, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." We all have things that needed fixed. So we are fixer-uppers. Ever watch that show with Chip and Joanna, Fixer Uppers? It doesn't go that smooth. I can tell you it does not go that smooth. But you know what? We can't ignore those things that need fixed. We can't just live with them. You know, you could try to ignore the fact that there's something wrong in your house. I've seen people try to do that, try to pretend it just isn't there. It eventually catches up with you. Eventually something catastrophic is going to happen and it's going to have to be fixed. Well, in our lives is the same way. We can't just ignore the things that are wrong in our lives. We've got to fix them. Romans 12 and verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," that means changed, fixed, improved, "by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We've got to fix the things that are wrong. We can't just say, "Yeah, you got me like I am." That's not acceptable. Those improvements have to be made. And we need to remember that we were all sinners and we continue to be sinners. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all made mistakes. We've all sinned and we continue to do that. We need to remember that. But we also need to remember what Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. When we sin, we separate ourselves from God. We have got a major problem that needs fixed. That's where the improvements have to come in. So it all starts with obeying the gospel. Can't do anything until you do that. Got to start with obedience to the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. We remember these. It ends with, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." We've got to do that. We've got to obey the gospel. That's the starting point. That's like buying the house. That's how you get in the game. Without that, there's nothing to improve. It's just, you're just lost. So you've got to start there. But we've also got to continue to grow and improve. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 reminds us that we're like newborn babes. We start off just drinking milk, but eventually we need to move on past that. If we're going to grow into adulthood, we've got to learn to eat real meat, eat real food. We've got to do that. We've got to continue to improve. We've got to work to get better. So, how do you do a home improvement? Well, the first part of home improvement, actually true home improvement, is probably the easiest part. That is, you got to tear out the old stuff. Tearing out the old stuff, it's kind of hard work. It's messy. But it doesn't take a whole lot of skill. You know, I have some pictures somewhere. My brother-in-law and I, in my old house, decided to tear out some of the old plaster because we were going to put insulation in the walls. So there's pictures of us with face masks and goggles, and we looked like we had been in a coal mine because there were 60 years of dust and dirt and grime. And as we broke out all of that old plaster, it all came crashing down. But we broke it out with hammers, we shoveled it up with snow shovels, put it in trash containers, and carried it out and threw it away. It was a lot of hard work. But it didn't take a lot of skill. But that's where you got to start. Well, you know what? As Christians, making improvements, we've got to do the same thing. We've got to start by getting rid of the sinful things in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4. Find out where I'm in my notes here. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 and 23. "And so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to this deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Put off concerning the former conversation. That means the way you used to live. We can't continue to live the way we did before. We've got to get rid of those things. We've got to change those things. We've got to get rid of the old. Get rid of that old man. Because if we're not getting rid of the old man, we're not really making improvements. In my little house, I started with a bathroom. It had this wonderful pink bathroom with a red carpet. It was pretty disgusting. So I had no idea how to do drywall, how to do any of this stuff. So my first answer was, I'm just going to try to cover it up. So I went to the wallpaper store. I found some cheap wallpaper that only a single guy buying his first house would have ever bought, and I stuck it on the wall. Didn't do a good job of covering up the fact that something needed fixed, because quite honestly, it was still pretty ugly. It was still pretty bad, and it didn't fix the problems. It just kind of covered them up a little bit. So we've got to make some changes. We've got to really get rid of the old before the improving can start. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, if we sin willfully After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Once we know what God expects of us and we refuse to do it, there's no hope. We've got to get rid of the old. We've got to make the change. We can't just continue and pretend it's not there. We've got to get rid of the old. So that's the first step. But you know what? When you're doing home improvement, there's lots to learn. You don't know it all at the start, trust me. You really don't. And as we start out as Christians, we don't know it all. There's lots to learn there too. You know, I didn't know how to fix or install drywall. I made some electrical repairs, and looking back, they never would have passed inspection if somebody would have come and looked at them because they were bad. I spent a lot of time sitting in the living room just looking at things going, I don't know how to fix that. What am I going to do with that? How do you do that? And then when I finally figured out I didn't know how to do it, I pestered the poor guy at the hardware store, asking him, how do you fix this? What do you do with this? I spent a lot of time doing those things. Well, you know what? We need to seek out instruction and work to gain wisdom. We've got to do that. It's Proverbs 1:1-5. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You know what? We've got to go out and we've got to try to learn. We've got to study God's word. We've got to talk to Christians, help them, let them help us learn to understand. Just like that poor man I pestered at the hardware store. We need to be there to help each other to learn what it is that we need to do. Because we all need that help. We don't know it all. We don't have all the answers. The other thing we've got to do is we've got to learn from our trials. You know, sometimes learning is hard. And sometimes we learn best by the mistakes we make. If we pay attention, we can learn from them. And there'll be lessons there that we'll never forget. James chapter 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Those little bumps in the road that we go through in life are there for a reason. They're there for us to learn from. They give us opportunity to practice things, to make mistakes, to learn from them, and if we do it right, to get better as we go along. My first attempt at drywall, I put about 10 pounds of drywall mud on the wall and sanded off about 9 3/4 of it. I had a mess you would not believe. Everything in the house was covered in drywall dust. It was quite a mess. And I can't say when it was done, it really looked that good. You know, I've gotten better. I don't put quite so much on, and I don't sand nearly as much off. But it took practice. It took working at it. Was it perfect the first time? No. But I learned, got better as we went along. That's what we've got to do as Christians. God didn't expect us to be perfect right off the bat. But again, the idea is that we learn. We get better as we go. We continue to work at it and to strive at it. The other thing about an old house and home improvement is there's always going to be things to do. You know, home improvement, it takes time and effort. And when we first got married, I can remember Mary Jo saying, are we ever going to be done working on this house? And the answer was no. We worked on it right up to the day we sold it, literally, trying to get things done before the realtor came. And that's going to be true of us. We are never going to be perfect. We're never going to understand it all perfectly. We're never going to be able to apply it all perfectly to our lives. We're going to have to keep working at it. But we can't get discouraged. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, those bumps in the road, those problems, all this stuff, can start to get worn down and you can just say, you know, I'm done. I'm finished. Can't do that. It's going to take effort. We're going to have to work at it our entire lives. And if we do, we will reap the benefit. But if we give up, we're lost. It's done. You know, we have a joke in my family. My brother-in-law, whenever he does a home improvement project, there is always one thing that he doesn't finish. He did this whole backsplash for my sister, and he one piece of tile. And for a year, that one piece was missing. Drove her nuts. She finally just called me up and said, will you come just fix this? Because he's just never going to get it done. You know? That was his way, though, of reminding her, it's never finished. It's never quite done. As much as you want it to be, as much as you want it to all be perfect, it just isn't going to happen. Well, that's the same with us. But you can't get discouraged and just quit. You got to keep plugging along. You've got to stay on the lookout. You know, again, with an old house, if you don't pay attention, things will sneak up on you. You know, if you don't watch that little drip, drip sound, if you don't investigate and see what it is, it'll turn into something more than a little drip, drip sound. Next thing you know, you'll have water running somewhere where you don't want it. You know, that roof that looks a little tired, well, you can ignore it for a while, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. You've got to stay on the lookout. You've got to try to stay ahead of these things. Well, we've got to do the same thing. We've got to remember to be watchful. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Be watchful. Got to be watching out. Because otherwise, something's going to show up that we weren't ready for. So we've got to be prepared. We've got to watch. I mentioned this earlier, but we've got to remember, we're not always going to get it right. My brother-in-law and I, at this point now, have a lot of fun when we get together reminiscing about the dumb things that we did. And there's quite a long list. In that first house, we decided to redo the kitchen. I measured, we bought cabinets, we stained cabinets, and we did this on a shoestring budget. And we went to put them up, and somebody measured wrong. And the one cabinet would not fit. So we had to go buy another one with money we didn't have. We had to stain it again. And then for several years, there was this other cabinet just sitting down in the basement reminding me, measure twice. Okay, I learned. Next time we went to do something like that, I measured a lot of times because I learned from my mistake. One of my favorite stories is my brother-in-law and I decided we were going to blow insulation into the ceiling upstairs. So I crawled into this little space that was about this tall. I had this hose and I stuck it down the first set of trusses. He's down there and I can't hear anything because it's just making all this racket. We're going. Finally, he turns it off. He goes, haven't you got done yet? I said, no, I haven't filled the first one up. He says, well, we've gone through 4 bags of this stuff. Where did it go? Well, I opened up a storage place that had all of Mary Jo's Christmas stuff, and there it was. I had filled the entire room with blown-in insulation because I didn't realize there was nothing to block it, that the wall didn't block it. It just blew right down into that room, and it filled the entire room with blown-in insulation. It was very insulated. He and I frantically cleaned it out as best we could, and then the next year at Christmas, she asked, I wonder why everything's dusty, and he and I are just looking at the ceiling. Oh, dude, can't imagine how that would have happened. I could go on and on about the dumb things we did, because we don't always get it right. But again, We need to learn from those things. Being human means we're going to make mistakes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That person doesn't exist. Jesus was the only one. He is the only perfect human being that has ever walked on this planet. The rest of us have flawed. We make mistakes. We need to remember that. We try not to. We'll do our best to learn from them, but we're going to make mistakes. And we can't ignore those mistakes. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There was a time when God just kind of let things slide. But now the expectation is when you make a mistake, you repent of it. Okay? You repent of it. You don't do it anymore. You recognize the mistake and you don't continue to repeat it. We've got to correct those mistakes. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The expectation is God knows we're going to make mistakes. And he's not looking to have an excuse to keep us out of heaven, but he does expect us to correct the mistakes we made. We can't just keep on doing what we've been doing. You know, that's hard. That's hard because you first got to recognize you made the mistake. A lot of time our pride keeps us from wanting to admit we've messed up. You know, during the home improvement process, there were times where you do something and you'd go, that was really dumb. And then you try to just hide it. That just makes it worse. It just keeps getting worse. You spend a lot of time trying to hide it and eventually you end up having to fix it anyhow. We need to not try to hide it. Own up to it, learn from it, ask for forgiveness, and move on. So what's the benefit of home improvement? Well, you live in a nicer house, you go to sell it, you get more from it, right? You can look at it with some pride of, I did that. I've made an improvement. I made something that wasn't good better. What is the benefit of improving ourselves in God's sight? Well, if we continue to make improvements, we're going to reap benefits. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we spend our lives making those improvements, striving to do what is right, recognizing when we've made mistakes, learning from them, correcting them, not repeating them, then when that day of judgment comes, there's an everlasting kingdom for us, a chance to live in heaven with God. That's the benefit of making those improvements. That's the payoff for the work. For spending the time and putting forth that effort. That's my sermon for the morning. Hopefully, cause you to think a little bit. Think about the fact that we're not going to be perfect, but we're just like an old house. We're in constant need of improvement. We just got to keep working at it. Keep striving. Keep doing. This morning, if anybody has never obeyed the gospel, as we mentioned, you've got to do that before you're even in the game. And we'd ask that you take care of that today while you have that opportunity. If you are a Christian, and there's some improvements that need to be made, and you need the prayers of the saints here, if you need help with anything, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and while we sit.